If you would take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, and we want to read the first 20 verses of this passage. It's from this portion of God's Word that we wish to speak on tonight. And we trust the Lord will aid us even in the reading of His precious Word. Mark chapter 5 and verse number 1. And they came over onto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou tormentest me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And there were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Amen. With God's word open before us, let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. And just in the stillness and the quietness of this moment, why don't you just ask the Lord to speak to you personally tonight, that you would know the message that he has for you, and that you would be obedient to it. Our gracious Lord, and our loving, eternal Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence once again tonight. We come, Lord, with thankful hearts, thankful for another gospel opportunity. Thankful, O Lord, for the mercy of God that finds the sinner in this house tonight. We thank thee, O Lord, for the way of salvation. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast said, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We thank thee, Lord, we're still in the day of grace. And, O Lord, we pray at this time, as God's word is open and as it is read and preached upon, we pray, O Lord, by thy Holy Spirit, you will come and do a work in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. We pray, Lord, that not one will leave tonight, but knowing that they are thine. Lord, we pray for the one who is still in their sin tonight, on that road that leads to eternal damnation and hell. O Lord, we pray you'll not allow them to take one more step to that place. But, O Lord, you would stop them in your love and in mercy and turn them toward Calvary. and toward heaven and home. Lord, we acknowledge the words of man cannot do this. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. O Lord, come and do a work that we cannot do. And Lord, we'll be careful to give thee the praise and honor and glory. Pray, O Lord, that you'll empty me of self and of sin tonight. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit and give liberty in the preaching of God's word, that he alone might receive all the glory. In his name we pray these things. Amen. And amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I don't know many of you here in this gathering tonight, but I can tell you upon the authority of the Word of God that the greatest need you have is the need of the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation in your life. Above all financial needs, above all material needs, above all physical needs, all health needs, the greatest need you have is to have your sins dealt with, to have them under the blood, and to bow your knee at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And praise his name, he came to meet the need of the sinner. Word of God tells us, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." And you know, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, we see him ministering to many and meeting the needs of many. Yes, physically, but more importantly, spiritually. I wonder why you've come to the house of God tonight. I trust it is to seek after God, to seek the things of God, to seek his will for your life. Praise his name. If you've come in your sin, he can meet your need tonight. And I trust as we study this passage that the Lord will show you how he can meet the need of the sinner tonight. In Mark chapter 5, the passage that we have read is really one of three separate incidents. We see the Lord, or the Son of Man, ministering on to three individuals. In verses 1 through 20, we read of Jesus healing the demoniac of Gadara, and it's really on that we want to focus tonight. But if you read on in that passage, verses 25 to 34, we read the account of Christ healing the woman with the issue of blood. And then in verses 21 to 24 and 35 to 43, we have the story of Jairus' daughter being raised from the dead. There we see a man, a woman, and a child who were changed by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He can do that tonight. None are too old for Christ and none are too young for him to reach. He can come by his power and save the whosoever will. But we also see the power of God in this chapter because he delivered from demons and he delivered from disease and he delivered from death. And what a salvation the Lord Jesus brought to us. And this is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is the one that we're meeting tonight to worship. And I want to speak on the subject tonight, Jesus came. Jesus came, because you see, whenever Jesus comes, there is a difference. When Jesus comes, things are not the same again. And I trust and pray that we'll be able to say tonight in this meeting, Jesus came. And we met with him. Firstly, I want us to consider before Jesus came. Before Jesus came, we see a picture of a man who was troubled with a multitude of demons. The picture that we're looking upon tonight is not a pleasant one. This is not the person that you would choose to have as your next door neighbor, as a potential friend, or as a family member. This is someone who was in the depths and in the depravity of sin, in bondage to Satan, bound for hell, full of sin and darkness. A man in reality who had no control over his life. Here was a man who had many troubles. We find him among the tombs. He wanted to make his abode among the dead. And the first thing I notice about this man is his depravity. We see how far sin can take a person. You know, it's easier for us to look at this man and say, yes, here's a man in the depths of sin. Here's a very depraved man, a wicked, sinful man. And you know, it's very easy for us as man and woman to point the finger at someone who is outwardly sinful and someone whose sins are manifest in the flesh. But the word of God tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. And further in that chapter, we're told why. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I want you to grasp the reality of those verses tonight. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's something that doesn't sit comfortably with people today. People like to think they're okay. And in comparison to others, they like to think that they're getting on well. They're upright. They're religious. They stand out as a nice person, as a kind person. Yet the word of God says all are sinners. From the one in the pulpit to the one in the very back of this church tonight, that includes each. All are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And what we have read here really is a picture of the sinfulness of man. We see someone who is dead in trespasses and sin and living a sinfully, outwardly sinful life. Friend, this is a picture of you and me tonight. Because if you're not saved, you are in the depths of depravity. If you're not saved, your back is toward God. If you're not saved, you have no desire for the things of God. If you're not saved, you're on your way to hell. If you're not saved, the word of God tells us you are already under the condemnation of God. You see, naturally, we do not seek after God. Ephesians 2:1 we read this evening. We were dead in trespasses and in sin. And that's the condition of those tonight who are not saved. The word of God tells us that we are dead in trespasses and in sin. And you know, I'm sure when this young man was born, as a little baby boy, and his parents held him in his arms, he brought great joy to his family. Now here he is bringing shame and heartache and worry and concern to those around him. You see, sin that he was born with took him to a place that he never thought, I'm sure, he would be. And I'm sure as his parents looked upon him as a little boy and they had the hopes and the dreams, as every parent does for their child, they never imagined that this is where life would lead him to. You see, sin will take you places you never thought you would be. Sin will make you do things you never thought you would do. Sin will turn you into a person you never thought you would be. And friends, sin will take you further than you'll want to go. You know, sin is spoken of very lightly today. You see, people would call it a defect, but God calls it a disease. People call sin an error today, but the Bible says it's enmity against God. There are those who will call sin just trifling. Scriptures calls it a tragedy. Some people will call sin a mistake. We read the scriptures, we could call it madness. There are those who call it a weakness, but the word of God makes it very clear it's a willfulness on the part of a sinner. And you see, whenever someone goes on in their sin, they will be taken further and further into the depths of that sin. Hymn writer said, sin will take you farther than you'll want to go. Slowly but wholly taking control, sin will keep you longer than you'll want to stay, and sin will cost you far more than you'll want to pay. And I want to tell you tonight, if you're not saved, that sin has a cost. Sin has a very heavy price. Sin has a very bitter cost at the end of the road. In your lifetime, sin may cost you relationships. It may cost you your family or your freedom, your finances, your health or your reputation. But more than that, sin will cost you your soul. Sin will cost you your soul. You see, the wages of sin is death. Sin will not only take you to the places of this world, but sin will take you to hell. And friend, that's exactly where you're headed for right now in this seat, if you are not saved. John 3:18 says, he that believeth not is condemned already. It's not that you have to wait until you die before you're under the condemnation of God. The scriptures tell us that tonight, as you sit in Coleraine Free Presbyterian Church, if you're without Christ, you are under the condemnation of God. And friend, you're a heartbeat between here and that awful place of hell and eternity. Your eternity is set. And that's where sin will take you. We not only see him in the depths of depravity, but we also see a man in the depths of despair. Because you'll see, you'll find in verses number 3 and 4 that people had tried to help this man. There are those whose hearts went out to him. They wanted to restrain him and to control him, probably for his own good and for the good of the society around him. But they weren't able to do anything. And you know, people can try and help you today and try and help you clean up your act. But the Word of God tells us that it is not an outward cleansing that you need as a sinner. It is an inward cleansing. You see, there's a popular notion going today, clean up your act. Try and help others. Try and be the best you can be. Overcome your problems and everything will be okay. Whenever I was coming into college, I got a book out of the library that's called How to Study, to give me some tips and ideas of how to go about the amount of work that we get. And as I looked at the back of that book, it was part of a series called Overcoming Common Problems. And on the back page, there was a list of all the different types of books that you could get in that series. Here are some of them. Getting a Good Night's Sleep. You could buy a book and read it, which would tell you how to sleep well in your bed at night. How to accept who you are. How to be your own best friend. How to cope when the going gets tough. How to cope with difficult parents. How to cope with difficult children. How to cope with difficult people. How to get where you want to be. How to improve your confidence. How to stand up for yourself, how to stick to a diet, overcoming guilt, overcoming shame, and every problem that you may possibly face in this life, I think, was listed on the back of that book, but one. How to deal with your sin. Because you see, man has no answer to the sin that condemns him and makes him guilty before a holy God. There was no self-help book on how to have a right relationship with a holy God. You see, the philosophy of this world is that man can do whatever he wants to do and can get to wherever he wants to get as long as he sets his mind on it. Friend, the philosophy of God's word is if you ever want to be in glory and ever want to stand before God, it is only through the work and the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the blood. Are you trying to clean up your life? Perhaps there's someone who's not saved, but you're trying to clean up the language. You're trying to give up the bad habits. You're trying to stop going to the places that you know you shouldn't be. You're trying to stop watching the things that make you feel guilty. You're trying to be kinder to your family. You're trying to give yourself that outward appearance that everything is okay. Friend, what about trying to deal with your guilt? And your shame? And your past? You see, the people of Gadara had tried to take this man and to change him. And you know you can change everything about your lifestyle, your habits, and your personality, but you will never change your standing before God. You see, you do not need a reformation, you need salvation. And that's exactly what this man needed. He didn't need a change to his outward appearance, he needed someone to come and work in the heart. Friend, you cannot get rid of the sin that's recorded against your name in heaven. You cannot have a right standing before God. There is only one who can deal with the problem of your sin, and that is Christ. You see, D.L. Moody said, there are two ways of covering sin. There's man's way and there's God's way. If you seek to hide them, they will have a resurrection sometime. But if you let the Lord cover them, neither the devil nor man will ever be able to find them again. Praise God. That's the salvation that our Savior offers. One who is saved and has her sins covered in the precious blood can face death with the confidence that it is absent from the body and present with the Lord because they are in the merit of Christ. They are covered by the precious blood. There is nothing to fear in death for the believer because they're going into the presence of the Savior. They will be welcomed into glory with that well done, good and faithful servant. But friend, if you are not saved tonight, there is much for you to fear in death. It's not absent from the body or and present with the Lord. It's absent from the body and into eternal punishment. And I seek tonight, if you are not saved, and I pray that the Lord, by his Holy Spirit, will write those realities upon your heart. Friend, you need to be saved. You see, this man was in depravity. And this man was in despair, but he was also distressed. He was annoyed. He was anxious. Sin had left this man in such a place that he was emotionally unstable. He felt no self-worth. Life was a chore. Life was a burden. There was no hope nor cure. And he was in turmoil over his condition. Here was a man He cut himself. There's nothing new under the sun. There are people you know today in life so hard that they have to resort even to self-harm to feel any type of self-worth. Here's a man who really had reached the end of his tether. All hope had been given up, I'm sure. Many times, friend, you see, sin leaves a mark. Sin leaves an awful mark, if not in your body, then in your mind. You see, we're living in a world today where sin is laughed at and where sin is mocked and it's portrayed as enjoyment, as living life to the full. Sin's dressed up with tinsel and with glitter and with lights, but often these sins that are promoted through the media leave out the message that sin has a very heavy cost. You see, gambling and alcohol and immorality and drugs and abuse are often presented as what life has to offer. You watch television for half an hour and you'll see that that's what the world has to offer. But they rarely show the aftermath. They rarely show the reality of a sinner's life behind closed doors. They don't show the person who's homeless and has lost a job and a family and a career because of the gambling. They don't show a family who's waiting at home in fear and trembling because a mother or a father or a teenager is going to come in drunk and violent and abusive. Or they don't show you the diseases that destroy the body through misuse and through drug abuse. They don't show those who are left as emotional wrecks after sin has taken their life and left them in the gutter. And friend, that's exactly what sin will do. Sin will take you to that place. And this man, before he met Jesus, is a picture of the sinner in his depravity, in his despair, and in his distress. And perhaps tonight you're saying to me, well, hold on a wee second. I can see that in that passage, but that's not me. That's not me. Nobody can point the finger at me. Nobody can accuse me of any open sin. Nobody can look at my life and say, well, you know, there's a person who is a sinner. Friend, don't you worry about what people think of you, but I have to tell you before God, if you can't look at your life and look at a day whenever you were saved, then the Lord says that you're a sinner. And the soul that sinneth must die. Friend, you might not outwardly exhibit sinfulness, but if you have not accepted Christ's offer of mercy and salvation, then you're rejecting the Savior. You're trampling underfoot the precious blood. You've never thanked him for the cross and for his death, and you have not declared him to be Lord of your life. Well then, friend, you need to do exactly what this man did. You need to run to Jesus. That's the condition of this man before Jesus came. But secondly, let's look when Jesus came. Because you will find when Jesus came, there was a difference. I'm sure there was this man and many people had written him off. There's no hope for him anymore. I'm sure many times people shook their head and thought, what a loss of life. What a waste of life. And I'm sure people had given up on him. What a pitiful picture of a man. No hope, no purpose, nothing or no one to help. Then Jesus came. But so often we have to get to the end of ourselves, don't we, till we realize that there's no hope for us outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. So often man has to go so low before he realizes that his only hope is in the Savior. I love that word in verse number 6, but. Oh, what a solemn and a black and a tragic picture we have in verses 1 to 5. But Jesus came. A friend, you might be on your way to a Christless eternity tonight, but Jesus is here. You might have guilt over things that you've done in the past and you can't get them off your mind and you can't get no peace, nor no rest, nor no contentment in life, but Jesus can give it to you. Friend, you might have wept many a night upon the pillow and lay in fear and trembling that one day you'll stand before the Lord in your sin. But Jesus can make the difference in your life. You know what this man did? He ran to Jesus. He ran to Jesus. Jesus, the only one who could help him. What a Savior. The Lord had done a work in this man's heart. No one had told him about Jesus. He knew who Jesus was. I believe the Holy Spirit had worked in this man's heart, revealed to him the Savior. C.H. Spurgeon said, "The first work of grace in the heart does not begin with man's desire, but it begins with God planting the desire in man." And he acknowledged who Jesus was, "Thy Son of the Most High God." And it's interesting to notice at this point that the demons didn't flee away. They didn't flee out of the presence of the Savior. You know why? Because they didn't have anywhere to go. He was the Lord who created heaven and earth. "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence?" They, even they, were under the sovereignty, the authority, and the power of God. But here's a man, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and he fell down before him. We read in Luke chapter 8. And then you know what happened? Jesus dealt with his problem. Jesus dealt with his problem. And you know tonight, Jesus has dealt with your problem of sin. He lived a perfect life upon this earth. He died that substitutionary death. He died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. I can say tonight that he died in my place, and he bore my sin on his body when he hung on the middle cross of Calvary. He has dealt with the problem of sin tonight, and the hymn writer says, "All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a problem he cannot bear. Never a friend like Jesus. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Friend, what do you need tonight? What do you need? You need the Savior. You need the Savior. You need him to make you anew. You need to be a new creation in Christ. You see, you need a new mind. Because your natural mind is darkened, it's depraved. You need a new heart. Your natural one is deceived. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You need a new will implanted within you, because your desire naturally is not toward the things of God. It's toward self and toward sin. You need a new birth, because the natural birth, your human birth, condemns you to hell, and you need the new birth. You need to be born again of the Spirit of God. And all this tonight can be found in Christ. He alone can give you eternal life. Praise God, not only for now, but also for eternity. You see, no one could help this man at the root of his problem other than Christ. And I can't save you tonight. And this church cannot save you. And works cannot save you. And you earn absolutely no merit sitting in this church tonight, though we're glad to see you. Only Christ can save you. He came to this earth to make a way for sinful men to be right before a holy God. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl cometh unto the Father but by me." Friend, there's no other way, and there is no other truth, and there is no other life. All you need is found in Jesus, the all-sufficient Savior. I wonder tonight, are you burdened with the weight and guilt of your sin? I wonder tonight, do you see yourself as Christ sees you? Friend, tonight, do you realize that sin separates between you and God? Do you realize that you can do absolutely nothing for yourself, but that Christ has done everything? That's why we can say to you, trust in Christ tonight, because he has done the perfect work. He has finished that work. In the cross of Christ, we can glory. Friend, have you received him as Jesus, as Savior and Lord? Have you turned from your sin in repentance? Turn from your self-righteousness. Turn from your works and trusted in Jesus. Have you cried in the Lord to save you? I pray tonight in my prayer, Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you say to me tonight, you don't know how far I've been in sin. You don't know the places I've been. You don't know the sins I've committed. Friend, I don't, but the Lord does. And here's the message: for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No matter what age you are, no matter how far in sin you've gone, no matter your religious background, no matter your natural background, you can be saved tonight if you will call upon the Savior. We've considered this man before Jesus came. We've considered this man when Jesus came. But let's note briefly as we close tonight, after Jesus came. Look at verse number 15. "And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. This man was different. This man was different. Why? Because Jesus had come and he had done a work in his life. There was evidence of salvation. You see, he was sitting. When do we sit? We sit when we're contented. And that speaks to me of contentment in this man's life. We read whenever the Lord Jesus finished his work upon the earth and he went to heaven and he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Why? Because the work was completed. He had done what he needed to do and he rested. And here's a man who's content. Self-harming, running about among the tombs, doing all the crazy and wonderful things of the day, but now he's sitting with contentment. Why? Because Jesus alone brings contentment. Don't look to money for contentment. Don't look to your health for contentment. Don't look to your family for contentment. Only Jesus will give you contentment in this life. Friend, that's the only way you'll ever have contentment. And you know what Luke chapter 8 verse 25, which is a parallel passage, tells us? It tells us that this man was sitting at the feet of Jesus. No wonder he was content. His sins were gone. He was brought into a right relationship with God. And there he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Not only was he sitting, but you'll notice in verse number 15 that he was clothed. Now that's interesting because he was running about naked. And not only was this man physically clothed, but he had new spiritual garments. He was no longer dressed in the rags of his sin, but he was now robed with the righteousness of Christ. And whenever the Father looks upon this man, he doesn't see the sins that he committed. He sees the robes of the righteousness of Christ and he accepts him in the Beloved because he's righteous in Christ. And that's what the Lord does for one who comes to him. Friend, your sins are covered by the blood, thrown into the sea of God's forgetfulness. He refuses to remember them any more against you, and you're clothed in the robes of God's righteousness. You may have lived the most sinful, depraved life up to this moment, but friend, if you get saved, you'll be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. You'll be accepted as a child of God. You'll be welcomed into the family of the redeemed. He was sitting. He was clothed, and verse number 15 tells us he was in his right mind. And I love that, because you know the world will tell us tonight we're not in the right mind being in here. They'll tell us you're reading that book and you're believing it and you're doing all these things and you're not having everything the world has to offer. You're not in your right mind. But the Word of God tells us that to be in your right mind is to be in Christ. Because when you're saved, we're told in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Christ meets every need. And as I said this morning, we should not desire the wisdom of the world because it's different from God's and his is higher than ours. We ought to desire the mind of God. But you will notice, despite the change, and despite this man being miraculously transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ, not everybody was happy. Not everybody welcomed the Savior. And here we see the true wickedness of the heart of man. Oh, don't disrupt our way of life. We don't know what's going on anymore. This man who was crazy and wandering about and harming himself and a threat to society is now sitting clothed and in his right mind. Would you not think they would be delighted? They would be happy? They would be praising the Lord? No! We don't want this! Get out of our country! We want to live the old life that we've enjoyed up to this point. They didn't even realize what Christ had brought into their midst. And friend, they prayed that he would depart from their coasts, and their prayer was answered. And there's a very solemn lesson to us tonight for those who are not saved. Be careful about sending the Savior away. If you feel the Holy Spirit striving with your heart tonight, friend, don't you presume on tomorrow. Don't you presume on a mission in the autumn. Don't you presume on another gospel evening service. If you hear the Spirit of God striving with your soul tonight, come unto me. Friends, you come to Christ. Come to Christ. Here's people that said, not today, Lord. No, no, no. On you. And friend, he left. How sad it would be if the Spirit would be striving with your heart tonight. And you sent him away and he should never call again. Friend, if you hear the Savior calling, I pray you'll be wise. You'll consider your latter end. And you'll say, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And then very briefly, I just want to finish with this. This man was used in the service of God. You see, I know he was saved because he wanted to give up all and follow Christ. He was prepared to go with the Lord. He besought the Lord that he would go with him. But Jesus had a plan for his life. And here's what the Lord Jesus said in verse number 19. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And you know what he had? He had the greatest privilege that any man, woman, boy or girl could ever have. He had the privilege of telling others about the Savior. And I challenge you tonight, believer. If you're saved and you know and love the Lord, when was the last time you told your family or your friends about the great things the Lord has done for you and about the compassion he has had on you? When was the last time you testified? When was the last time you invited someone to the service? When was the last time you shared a verse of scripture with one who was not saved? Friend, this is God's desire for the believer, that you would be a witness and a testimony. And here this man went forth, and the Bible tells us he departed and he began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. This man was set free. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past, for I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free. Praise the Lord, free at last. What a joy and blessing it is to be saved. What a wonderful thing it is. I don't ever want to go back to a time when I didn't know the Lord as my Savior. Psalm 32, we read this morning, the first verse said, blessed. And that word blessed means a multitude of blessings, a multitude of happinesses, joyfulnesses. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. You see, those who are saved are no longer counted as rebels, but were counted as children of the King, precious in the sight of God. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the life and fills it with his glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. We finished tonight. I want to ask you a question. Has Jesus come into your life? Are you saved? Have you said, Jesus, I come. Lord, save me, a sinner. Friend, that's all you need to do. Oh, what it would be today if one would come to the Savior. Friend, don't walk out that door. Don't walk out knowing you're under the condemnation and the wrath of God. Don't take a further step towards hell tonight, but will you not turn and trust the Savior? Friend, this world's nothing to offer you. Sin will take you to hell, but my Savior will come and make something beautiful out of your life. And he can do it tonight. Let's pray. Perhaps in this meeting you want to speak to me after the service. You would like to be saved. You would like to ask something about the way of salvation. Well, please speak to me at the door, friend. Don't leave tonight without the Savior. Oh, friend, don't leave tonight knowing that you're not saved and you're not right before the Father. Will you not come and put your trust in the Savior? He died on the cross for sinners. And his precious blood can save the vilest offender who truly believes. Friend, that's you tonight. Come. Welcome to Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for the wonderful gospel of redeeming grace. Oh Lord, we were born in our trespasses and our sin, but we thank thee that, Lord, you didn't let us remain there. Love brought you from the splendors of glory to die upon an old rugged cross and to shed your precious blood a ransom for many. Lord, I pray tonight, oh, if there's one in this meeting, and Lord, the heart's beating tonight because there's a battle going on within, Lord, will you give victory tonight? Oh, Lord, whatever the barrier is that's holding them back from Christ, Lord, defeat it, we ask in Jesus' name. And draw the sinner to Christ. Lord, give no rest and give no peace until they come unto thee and confess thee as Lord and Saviour. I thank thee, Lord, that there's not been one but has found thee faithful when they've truly repented and turned to thee in faith. O Lord, do it tonight. Visit Coleraine with salvation. May this be a red letter day in heaven. O Lord, give the conviction and the courage tonight to come. And Lord, we'll be careful to give thee the praise and the honour and all the glory. Lord, if we never meet again, grant that each one would meet thee in that wonderful place called heaven, saved by his precious blood. For we ask in his name. Amen.